Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome, Thursday edition of SJS, and that means we are brought to you today by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. I think talking to Rick is more important than ever, based on how things have been going, and Rick will take very good care of you. You can also go online to REWfinancial.com. I'm in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Our great friends at Sunbury Motors with us every single day. You can go to Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kierwoods 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store. You can go to Hilscher's Store. com, www.hilscherstore.com, located on Routes 11 and 15, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. A lot to talk about today. Rich Scarcello steps in from the Reading Eagle. We'll talk about Penn State football with him. Also, the Kevin Herr rant of the day, getting geared up. We are just a mere 90 minutes away from what is becoming a signature moment of the program. Mark Lawrence brags that he's rantless. I don't know if I'd make that brag after listening to the quality of the rants we've had this week. But first, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence of WKOK's On the Mark program. We continue rantlessly through our program. We do have Ben Reichle tomorrow and State Representative Fred Keller. OTM 8:30 to 10 a.m. on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Well, we have rants, and we're proud of it. It's now become a signature moment in the show, even though Kevin is now cracking under the pressure of it.
Actually, I have two today, so I'm going to have to stockpile now.
Two today?
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to use them both. No. I'm not going to use them both today.
One's, make it timely.
I think they'll both be timely for tomorrow, so we'll be all right.
Yeah, new stuff comes up overnight.
Well, that's true. I mean, we get to tomorrow, and there's something new comes in. We may have to do two tomorrow just because there's not going to be any over the weekend.
You think people are going to miss it that much?
Well, I'd like to think so, but in reality, probably not.
Just thought I'd pass that piece on to you.
No. I do realize I'm slightly deluded there, but
I know I'm not missed over the weekend. I'm smart enough to know that.
Well, you're not going to be missed today. This is all Steve Jones Thursday and then some.
Yeah. Oh, well.
You may actually have more airtime on this radio station than Mark Lawrence has today.
Well, I would hope so.
It's going to be close.
My man Lawrence getting it done. All right, Olympic wrestling. We're going to talk with Ken Sherto tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Now, I believe there's a meeting in May. Look, I know everyone's passionate about this, but I'm telling you right now, you're a long shot. You can write to the International Olympic Committee all you want. I strongly recommend that you do that. But I also will caution you that it is a long shot. Okay? And the reason it's a long shot is it goes back to what Bob Buhner and I talked about on Monday when this came out. It's a long shot because politics might be stacked against you. Now, if wrestling survives, I think that is great. And, again, I have absolutely nothing against the ancient Chinese martial art, wushu. Nothing wushu against it. Huh?
Wushu.
Wushu.
I just like saying it.
I have nothing against it. To me, if they want it in there, add it. Why should there be a limit on sports? I mean, they've added things in the Winter Olympics like snowboarding and things like that. That's fine. Moguls, great. Now, do I watch all of it? No. But I still think it's great it's in there. BMX bike. Oh, our friend Jamie Bestwick, who's been on the show many times, was the commentator for NBC on it. Jamie did a great job. I watched it because Jamie announced it. And as he announced it, I found it to be fun to watch. If it's on tonight, I'm not watching it. But if it's in the Olympics, I'll watch it.
You might be a little busy.
No, but I'm saying, though. But I'm
right,
saying
no,
if it,
I know,
it was a...
I know.
You know.
You know, one of the best new sports added to the Olympics, at least from an excitement standpoint, was to the Winter Games, ski cross. That's exciting. It's almost like a, it's almost like downhill skiing with four competitors at once.
Mm-hmm.
That yeah, I mean, with that, moguls
that's
and everything.
Fun. That's
that's
fine.
Cool.
I mean, and I think that's fine. I think, and again, if I keep concentrating on Wushu. I really believe that's going to be the one that makes it.
I agree with you.
That's why I keep mentioning it. I think, didn't I see there was baseball, softball, of course, is one. That's in a combo.
Right. Two for one deal.
Right. And that's not going to make it. And again... let me see, 2020 Olympic consideration. Where is it right here? It's seven sports, blah, blah, blah. Let's see.
One of the, I'm trying to think of the couple.
No, I have
ones.
It. I have
oh,
it
you
here.
Did? You
no,
did
no I have.
There are a couple of water sports involved, too, I thought.
Yeah, all right. There are a couple of water sports. But wrestling would be, is one of the seven. It is, where is it? At Galson in 2016.
Right.
Which it should have been in before.
Well, while you're looking, I want to share a story. A friend of my son's, who has been wrestling since pretty much birth, was talking just right after this news came out. And one of the things he said was, you know, they've actually absolutely destroyed my dream right now. Because that was it. His dream was wrestling for Team USA. Gone. I mean, that was his, that was the thing. And, you know, don't get me wrong. He wants to get a state championship in high school. You know, he said, but what's there? What's after that? He said college, but he said, then I'm done. I've been wrestling my whole life for one main thing, to be able to be, you know, do well in high school, do well in college, and go to the Olympics. And that is gone now.
Right. Well, let's see. Track roller derby's one of them. How about that?
That was big in the 70s, wasn't it?
It's big in the 50s and 60s.
And they had a TV show about it, didn't
70s.
They?
Sure. Uh-huh. Yeah, they had San Francisco Bay Area Bombers.
Yeah.
Charlie O'Connell and Joni Weston. Let's see.
A friend of mine once said, if there's not a ball or a finish line, it's not a sport. I don't necessarily agree with it, but it was pretty funny.
But there's a finish line in roller derby.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, yeah, I guess there is.
Yeah, there is. I mean, the jam has to stop.
Yeah, you're right.
The heck? I had the list of these. I had the list here. Baseball, softball was one of them. Roller derby was one of them. Wrestling is obviously being considered. Wushu's being considered. Let's see. It's a secret vote. Oh, there's a shock.
Yeah. And there's like 30 some different opportunities or categories, and they don't tell you what they are. You found it now? I just found it too.
Yeah, I have it. Eight sports under consideration, including wakeboarding, sports climbing, squash, roller sports such as roller derby, karate, which may make it, by the way. And the martial art of Wushu. More sports expect to be eliminated from the list in early 2013. They're expected to make a final vote. And then, of course, wrestling is on that list now. Jacques Roga, The fact that softball is even under consideration for the 2020 games is a step in the right direction, he says. Even so, softball still has a long way to go. Unlike the other sports competing behalf of the 2020 Olympics, softball is the only one that has previously been included in the Olympic Games. See, that's the problem. If wrestling gets knocked out, okay, wrestling gets knocked out, the road back is going to be very, very long.
I think the thing that disturbs me and a lot of folks are the point that you made earlier. Why do you have to take any out? What's the point of taking sports that are out? It's not that the sport's not successful. You know, one of the criteria was how many people went and saw it. They were sold out.
They're sold out, yeah.
They were sold out. So why is it, you know, it's not like there's nobody going to see that sport. You know,
Kevin,
if it were like chariot racing, I'd understand.
Well, hold on a second. I saw Ben Hur. It's pretty exciting.
I know, but nobody does it anymore. Nobody watches it.
Not only that, it's brutal. It's like chariot racing, the way they did it in Ben Hur, is like arming the boats in the bay instead of the America's Cup. that's Americanized, man.
So you're saying chariot racing is they have the Rubens racing rule there too?
Yeah, you want to sit there? You want to put the little spikes on the side of the chariot? Hey, I'm all for it. You know, come on. Get into it. But I think when it comes to this, again, I don't care if they add wakeboarding. I don't care if they add karate. I don't care if they add wushu. Softball. Okay? I don't care if they add sports. I think that's great. More competitors, the better. But don't knock a sport out. I don't get this knock them out tit for tat kind of thing. I think that's it. That's a crazy way to run this thing. You know, and you also have to continue to put sports out there that Americans like. In Sydney, they put out ballroom dancing. Okay? Dancing with the Stars here has been a very popular show, but they don't want to watch it in the Olympics.
By the way, in my research of wushu after the rant the other day, there is a U.S. Wushu Center in Portland. Oregon, that is.
Okay. They're not going to win.
No.
Okay. There's also a Paris Figure Skating Center in Harwich. Okay? Not going to win that either.
Doesn't mean anything there either, right?
Yeah. Sorry. Paris Figure Skating, not a U.S. strength. It's always the strength of the Soviets, now Russians. But, and I have no problem with China, you know, getting more active on the Olympic scene. It's like, no problem at all with that. But when you start to see political power plays happen and you see what direction the sports are going in and what's being eliminated, you too can take 2 + 2 and have it equal 4. It's a political power play. That's all it is. You take out a sport in wrestling, which has been there since day one of the Olympic Games in 1896 in Athens, going back, I think, to the ancient Greeks. And it's a disgrace.
By the way, I applaud the Greeks, who, by the way, kind of invented this event. They were really not happy to see wrestling go away.
All right.
And they made their displeasure known to the IOC.
Oh, they are in line with everybody else because what they did was illogical. Ken Shurta will talk more about this tomorrow. Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle, coming up in a few minutes. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
OK, Okay, great to have you with us here on this Thursday, brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to rewfinancial.com. Tommy and Shamokin, thank you very much for your patience, Tommy. Appreciate it.
It's Tony.
Tony, I'm sorry. It's up here in the...
No,
that's me.
It's
up here. That's all
I made the mistake.
No, it's okay. It's
my fingers went faster than my brain.
Yeah, so he added letters.
I think removing wrestling from the Olympics is asinine. Mm-hmm. That is one of the original ancient Olympic sports. I think it was running, discus throwing, wrestling, and boxing. Maybe been one or two more in there. But they're the only ones we have ancient artifacts from. My theory, and it's only a theory, one of the reasons they want to remove wrestling is it's one of the male, only male exclusive sports left in the Olympics. I don't know if that has any
actually, it's not.
That's an interesting point, except I think this is more of a political power play to take away multiple medals from Western Hemisphere countries that excel in it in order to get more medals involved for Eastern Rim countries by putting in a sport they excel at. I think this is a political power play.
Yeah, that could be. But this one sport you're talking about, I never heard of it. Wushu or whatever?
Wushu. Wushu is Chinese martial arts, the ancient Chinese martial. And they have weight classes, Tony, which means that there are multiple medals involved. I think there are 10 weight classes in it. Well, if you have 10 weight classes in something, that means there are 30 medals available. And guess which country might win 20 of them?
Oh, no doubt about it. To me, it sounds like some form of sushi. I don't know.
hey, Tony, just to let you know, the Greco-Roman is men's only, but freestyle did have a women's division over the last several years.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. I did not know that.
They had four weight classes in the women's division, women's freestyle.
And I just think, you know, you start watering things down, that sport they use with sticks and the ribbons on the end. I mean, is that a sport? I don't even know what it's called.
Rhythmic gymnastics?
Whatever it is, I don't know.
I thought he was talking about fencing.
No, it's they have like a long ribbon and they do
rhythmic gymnastics.
Tony, if they have rhythmic gymnastics, I don't care. I think that's fine.
Right.
I think if they put in wushu, I think that's fine. Or karate or wakeboarding, I don't care. Don't eliminate sports. That's
exactly
my point.
You could have as many as you want. Keep wrestling. Keep what you have.
Yes, and hey, if you wish to add, that's fine. Adam, just add.
That's right. Hey, thanks for your time. Have a good day.
Tony, thanks so much. Well, that's on the Hilsers General Store hotline at 1-800-795-9565. Now we'll call out on the Hilsers General Store hotline. It's powered by Hilsers General Store. Go to www.hilsersstore.com, and we bring in an old friend of mine, someone I have tremendous respect for, Rich Scarsella from the Reading Eagle. Rich, welcome. It's great to have you back.
Hey, it's good to be with you. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm hanging in there, Rich. Every day brings something new. You know that.
Yes, it does.
Before we get to other things, I want to talk about the recruiting end of it for Penn State.
Okay.
Last week, mm-hmm. Bill O'Brien announced Penn State's recruiting class. Mm-hmm. We know the names that are there. Just the fact that so many of them stuck with this thing, what does it say about the young men? But also, what does it say about the recruiting job that Bill O'Brien and his staff did?
Well, I'll use the word that Mike Farrell, the national recruiting analyst for Rivals, used when I interviewed him. He said he called it amazing, and I think that's appropriate. Considering the circumstances and situations that Bill and his staff are working under, I think it's nothing short of amazing that they were able to land the class that they did. You know, there are varying opinions on it, whether it's ranked in the top 25 or in the mid-40s or whatever. But regardless, it's an outstanding job that they were able to keep the core of this class together for almost the better part of a year, I guess. It's just an amazing job. And I think it's not only, you know, the people who cover Penn State football like us who recognize that. I think it's been recognized across the country. And you asked me about the kids. It does say a lot about them. It shows you that they want to be at Penn State. There's no doubt about that. Whether it's they want to be coached by this staff, whether they want to play for this school, it doesn't matter. This is where they want to be, and that's a pretty big commitment from those guys.
If the sanctions play out all the way through, and at the moment you have to assume that they will, until we hear otherwise.
Yeah.
The depth that the program needs would in all likelihood be provided by the run-on program.
Mm-hmm.
You and I know there's been a depth of talent in this state for a long time. It has lessened as time has gone along with the population shifting south. Mm-hmm. But what if you heard about, from young people and others that you talk with that look at the talent in this state that may not be recruited, for example, by Ohio State, Michigan, but is recruited by other people that still want to go to Penn State?
Well, I mean, I have not talked directly to any of the run-ons or walk-ons, but I do know that to bring in that many, is impressive. They are going to be an important and vital part of this program going forward. I've heard about different players that are. I've been told by people who have seen them play that they are Division I players. Whether or not they're Big Ten players or not, that remains to be seen, but that they're Division I players. And for them, I know there are several of them, many of them, that passed up Division I money to come to Penn State. So I'm guessing that the whatever number of walk-ons or run-ons that were brought in, I'm guessing that many of them are capable of playing at this level.
And the next part of this is that the Big Ten, with the expansion of Rutgers and Maryland, you and I both know that 8 will not be the game schedule down the road, and they've made that apparent. They've talked about the possibility of 9 or 10, and Barry Alvarez on his show on WYBA in Madison said, hey, look, no more FCS teams either. How do you feel about an expansion of the conference schedule, Rich, and what it means down the road?
Well, I have no problem with it expanding to 9. If you expand it to 10, then that sort of limits teams that want to get an extra home game. It limits them it limits their flexibility in trying to get 7 home games. So I don't know if I want to see it go 10, but I have no problem with it going to 9. I have no problem with that at all. I think that's I think it'll be a more fair way to determine the division champions.
Yeah, and I felt the same way about 9. And I started thinking about 10, Rich, about the possibility of 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the conclusion I came to just mulling this in my head as to how it could possibly work and actually be beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the semifinals coming up in college football, I think you still need some RPI in there, like college basketball.
You're going to, yes.
Yeah, you and I both know that. If they go 10, and you think of this as 13 home games over 2 years, it's possible, and here's the reason why. Because everyone talks about the 7th home game being a financial reason, correct?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, if the Big Ten and the numbers that are quoted in the media are correct, $24.5 million per school, with the possibility now skyrocketing to $45 to $50 million in 5 to 6 years, do you now need the 7th home game every year?
Well, I think you need to talk to the financial people at each institution, and they probably will tell you, yeah, they do. No, I don't know. That's my take on it. You raise an excellent point, Steve, but I still think that if you talk to, whether it's Dave Joyner or any other athletic director in the Big Ten, I think they're going to want that extra home game. But maybe even if it's small compared to the windfall that the Big Ten Network will bring in.
And I raise that's a devil's advocate point if they go to 10. Because I'm with you. I think 9 is a really good number, and that gives you the flexibility that you're talking about.
Yeah, I do like, and you mentioned what Barry Alvarez said, I do like the fact, if this goes through, that the Big Ten teams will not play 1AA or FCS schools. I like that a lot. I don't think there's any reason for that to happen down as we move forward here.
Look, people here, as you and I know, when Alabama came in, you know, the state was alive. When Indiana State came in, everybody's like, oh, okay, they're starting the season.
And I think in Penn State's case, as it works on future schedules, I think it's important to bring in the non-league games, it's important to bring in teams from BCS conferences. Now, that doesn't have to be, you know, the Alabamas and the LSUs and the Oklahomas of the world or the Floridas necessarily, but I think at least, you know, you're trying to sell tickets and you're trying to, you know, maintain the interest in the program. I think it's important that teams from BCS conferences are scheduled.
I think you're right on the mark with that. I mean, there's no question about it. Now, here's the next part. I want to get to college because you do a lot with college basketball as well, Rich. If I had a vote, I probably would vote Miami number one at this stage. I mean, they beat Michigan State. They beat Duke, North Carolina. I mean, they're beating everybody.
And they're beating Duke and North Carolina by many, many points.
Yeah, many, many points. Fashion. Significant numbers.
Yes.
And, again, I want people to remember, they beat Michigan State in the ACC Challenge, and that's the first night I noticed Miami basketball this season. Are we seeing maybe a dozen number two seeds all trying to and then to pick four of them to be number ones?
Well, I think what you're seeing, you can look at it that way, but I think what you're seeing is a wide-open NCAA tournament. I mean, and the difference, really, between being a one seed and being a two seed is negligible, other than the honor of being a number one seed, of course.
Right.
But I think the depth, I mean, when you look at, you can go down 10, 12 teams that I think, maybe somebody else will disagree, but I think could win the national championship.
I agree with you. I think you're right. You're spot on.
So I think that's good.
I do too.
I'm not the kind of person who says you need a dominant team like a Kentucky going in. I don't think you do that. I think to have a wide open NCAA tournament is exciting, and the NFL likes to trumpet its parity, and having a different Super Bowl winner over the last few years, but I like that. I think that's going to really hold my interest over these next 2 months.
I completely agree with you. I like the wide open nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice seeing Kentucky and what they did last year, but you felt like you were watching a coronation. This year, I don't think you know who's going to win it.
No, you don't. I mean, who is the best team in the country right now? It's hard to say. I mean,
right.
I might agree with you. I might rank Miami first, but are they the best team in the country?
Don't know.
I'm not sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't know. That's what makes it. The honor of being a number one seed gives you the privilege of playing a 16 to start.
Yeah.
Then after that, you play an 8. Well, now you're playing one of the top 32 teams in the pool. What's the difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. See, that's why I've never understood the fascination with the big deal, you know, people arguing between a 1 seed and a 2 seed, because especially now with the way they move the pods around, the 1 and the 2 seeds are going to be playing close to home regardless.
Right.
So it's not as big a deal as it may have been when the tournament was smaller and when they were bracketed strictly by geographic region.
Obviously, and I'll close with this question. As we know, the Paterno report came out on Sunday.
Yep.
Jay Paterno has been on virtually every national media outlet where I think he's given a very good account of himself. And Sue Paterno was on Katie Kirk, where she gave, obviously, a great account of herself. Just your thoughts on the release of this in the process of us trying to now find out exactly what did and did not happen.
And this is my last question. How much time do I have?
Yeah, plenty of time.
First and foremost, I have no problem with the Paterno family doing this. If it was my father, my grandfather, my spouse, I'd want to defend them as strongly as I possibly could.
Without question.
But, so I have no problem with that. But I have heard people criticize them for doing this, and I can't find fault with that.
Nope.
Both reports, the Free Report and the report commissioned by the paternal family, really start having agendas. Now, you can say both of them start from a biased point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Do I agree with everything in the Free Report? No. Do I agree with everything in the paternal family report? No. The bottom line to me is that I read everything Sunday night. I just don't think there's enough in there to change the minds of people who have changed people's minds, who've already decided who's right, who's wrong, and so on and so forth. That to me is the bottom line. There's just not enough there. And I've heard, Steve, and I don't know, I'm sure it's been much talked about in the state college area, but I've heard from Penn State alums who I'm friends with, who I work with, and they're tired of hearing about the whole sordid mess. You know, is that right? I don't know, but I'm just saying that's what's been conveyed to me over the last few days, that they're just worn out by it, and I understand that. But I also understand the paternal family's desire to find and to get to the truth.
Right.
Unfortunately, I don't know if we're ever going to get to the truth.
And to me, and the viewpoint I've taken on this is exactly what you said about, you know, completely respect what they've wanted to do, because I would have done the same thing in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also, the key part I've maintained is we're not going to have as many clues as to what the truth is until Tim Curley and Gary Schultz are allowed to speak. They're the ones that can fill in the holes and give context. And context is important before you can then render judgment.
Well, and I've said this, I don't know the answer. What happens if Tim Curley and Gary Schultz are found not guilty?
Right.
How does that change things? How does that change the way we look at the whole thing?
Right.
I don't know. I don't. You know, does that change? Will that change people's minds who have made their minds up already? I don't know, Steve. I'm not smart enough to have that answer, but I do know.
I think part of it would depend on not guilty and then hearing the explanation in court and people sitting back saying, oh, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I think that's the moment that if there's any chance to turn perception, that would be the moment.
The one thing I would like to add is that people haven't been judging based on a legal perception. It's been more of a moral or ethical perception.
Exactly.
So that's why I'm not sure how much that would play into what people think.
Well, that's why I mentioned context. That's because context then tells you what they were thinking and why. Not from a legal point of view. Context tells you what you were thinking and why.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. I just think I know, as I said earlier, that just talking to the three or four people, two of who approached me, who have talked to me about it, who are Penn State alums, we just want to move on. I understand that, but I also understand if I was a member of the paterno family, I don't think I would be able to stop fighting to defend Joe. So,
Rich, as always, a great pleasure. Maybe I should have led with that question instead of leaving it to the end.
That's quite all right, Steve. I appreciate it.
Rich Carsella from the Reading Eagle. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go online to rewfinancial.com. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, We wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Rich Scarcella, as always, very interesting. You listen to Rich, and you can tell, and you can see it in his writing, and I think it comes out when you speak with him and listen to him. Very thoughtful. He's not a knee-jerk reaction guy. He would not be very good at a rant.
There's not too many people out there that are, like, not knee-jerk reaction anymore.
No, I know.
Or this is my opinion, and I'm right, and here's why.
Yeah.
I'll give you my opinion. I mean, I don't say I'm right, but I give you the opinion.
Some days I walk away from the show, and I'm saying, gee, you know, would the show be more successful if I just went out and handle it like that? But it wouldn't be me. And at that point, if it can't be yourself and it's an act, then really what good is it? So I may take a more measured approach on this show, but I try to think things through.